This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. The 2018 Spring Awakening Music Festival will start this Friday, June 8th through Sunday, June 10th. This festival will feature some of the top artists in trance, progressive, and dubstep. One of the group that's going to perform is Tritonal, and it's actually a duo group. One of the people in the group is named Chad Cineros, and he's joining me right now. Thanks so much for joining me, Chad.
Yeah, no worries.
Tell me, where did the name Tritonal come from? And am I saying that right?
You are, which is great, because a lot of people don't say it right. From a lot of bad names, a brainstorming session over the course of a couple weeks where Dave and I wanted something that we felt like spoke to the music that we were attempting to create, that the sort of vision that we had for the brand and that fit us as a personality. And, you know, tritonal, it's a compound word. So a tritone in music theory is, it's a diminished fifth. It's a chord, quite a dissonant little chord. I don't think that our music necessarily reflects that. But tritonal, you know, we did like that it had a musical aspect, though. And tritonal is it's a compound. It's like 80% TNT. It's an airdropped explosive used by the military. So we just thought that musical explosivity as a word was super cool, and the fact that it had musical connotation, you know, as well as some sort of firepower was pretty neat.
Now, it has tri in there. Does that mean there's going to be a third person joining sometime?
No, the tritone's just a chord.
Okay.
So it literally just means three tones.
So when did you guys form Tritonal?
It's been about 9 years now, almost 10. We're almost to the 10-year mark. So like any business, I think there's a lot of trial and error. And writing music is such a personal thing that it was super important for Dave and I to develop that nurturing relationship in the studio with one another, where we could allow each other to sort of, you know, we call it allowing each other to fail when you try stuff that may not work out, and that's perfectly valid. And so just formulating that chemistry and that bond and sort of our own little musical language, you know, over the years has taken time and been a super cool journey.
Before forming Tritonal with David Reed, what were you doing?
I was a college student at the University of Texas, double majoring in audio engineering and in business. So I was taking a whole bunch of courses from UT and, you know, in sound design and music theory, mixing, composition, as well as doing a sort of economics business degree. You know, I wasn't necessarily 1,000% sure that the music industry was going to be financially viable, to be, you know, completely transparent. But it's a pretty tough one. As a college student, sort of looking out with no real idea how the industry worked, kind of have an idea, like you can have a passion and a dream, but from a pragmatic perspective, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work out. You know, so I wanted to make sure that I had a somewhat of a foundation so I could get what I call a real job if I needed one, you know?
So how did you meet David Reed? Like, how did the band form? Were you both in the same college?
No, Dave's 5 years younger than I. He started writing music when he was like 11 years old, a bit of sort of a musical prodigy in that regard. He was making, you know, his own beats and stuff at that young. But we met online. We met on a synthesizer forum. He was living in Washington, D.C. at the time, and I was in tech. I think I was 24, 25, finishing college, and he was 19, 20 years old. He was in college, too, junior college accreditation, while writing music at the same time. And, you know, he took a trip from Washington, D.C. to Texas, to Austin, where I was living. He had some family there, which was coincidental, and his dad brought him down, and we got to meet and hang out for a couple days, spend a couple days in the studio. And, you know, we got on really well, and at that point, we decided to try to see if we could figure out a way for us to be in the studio together full-time. And, you know, here we are 10 years later.
How do you guys agree on a particular track? Is it like, oh, you know, David's got 60%, you got 40%, or is it a 50-50 kind of thing?
There's been so many songs written that some of them may be coming. I don't necessarily look at them like percentages like that. I think that ultimately, what you need to have a vision that you both agree on and sort of an end goal. If we can get here, if it can sound, you know, and sort of alike. And so however you get there is however you get there. There's a thousand different ways to get a cat or cut a record, and we've probably pursued most of those thousand. Like, it doesn't, there's no rules anymore on how to get a record. I mean, sometimes we'll go in and it'll be like super traditional, where we'll go into a writing session, you know, with a piano and a guitar and sit down with a notepad and literally start from square one with a chord progression and with an idea and a theme and sort of storyboard a story and then write lyrics and write a song, like old-fashioned songwriting. We've done that in Nashville and country music writers, and we've done it tons in L.A. with pop writers. And then there's the reverse, which is you get a completely finished top line sent to you that was already written by a bunch of other writers, and then you essentially act as sort of the traditional producer and either reproduce or rewrite the sort of underbelly bed of music under that top line. We excel there. We're great at reharmonizing, you know, different chord structures and chord movements under existing melodies. So that's something that we excel at. Or with dance music, sometimes a record is an instrumental and it doesn't even have, it's not even built like a typical song with a vocal. Like it'll just be, you know, a big massive hook or a big lead or, you know, sort of a big synth idea. And so you may start with a melody, you may start with a bass line, you may start with a beat, like it's just a dope groove. Like there's so many different ways to write music now. Loop-based music in particular that I don't even know where to begin. That's kind of the answer, is that there are no rules and we try to break as many of them as we can.
Do you think that you and David have better synergy now than when you first started?
Well, I think that we have more maturity now. In the beginning, I felt like we were trying to explore everything. So within every song that we were writing, there were so many variations. We were throwing so many different sort of ideas at the wall to see what sticks. I just feel like we have a more mature tool set now and having an astronaut view, if you would, of the world in which we exist. Like, you know, we've written, I don't know, 200 songs maybe now. And by writing that many songs, cutting that many vocals, reharmonizing that many tracks, remixing that many records, you sort of just get a maturity and an instinct that you rely on what you think's going to work. And you tend to go off on less little paths that don't end up working. I think that's probably true with any profession. You get efficient at what it is that you're doing.
I like that answer. You get efficient. That is so true. Are you guys currently on tour?
Yes. We're celebrating 10 years of our record label, Enhance, which is super cool. And, you know, this tour, we're actually bringing out two different up-and-coming artists on our record label, Enhance Music, out to every show across North America. So, you know, it's a chance for the guys that we're A&Ring and working with on their records and signing their records and sort of trying to help build their careers. It's a chance for us to put them in front of, you know, a much bigger audience than they would be able to, at least currently on their own. And so it's awesome for some of these guys to play, you know, markets that they haven't played before for the first time, or to play maybe a market but in a much bigger venue.
How many more stops do you have left on this tour?
And in terms of a number, I don't know. I know that this goes to about the end of the summer. It's going to run through August, and it's pretty much every weekend is booked from now until, you know, mid-July, end of August. Think about the music industry, and especially the DJ world and the electronic realm, is that touring doesn't ever seem to stop. I always joke that we're still on our first tour because there's never been, like, this massive, like bands, they'll go on these cycles where they'll literally stop touring for like, you know, 8 months to 2 years, and they'll go in the studio and they'll just write, and then they'll release the album, and they'll go and do another year tour. And it doesn't necessarily work that way with DJs and producers. That we're so fast now with writing, like we can finish a record in 3 days or 2 weeks. I mean, it doesn't take, like, we know what we're doing. We're producers. We're not just a guy that's in a band that just plays guitar. Like, you know, like you have five, one guy just may play, that's all he does. And so we work on music on the road. We have laptops. We work on music at our house. We also have a real studio. So we're always kind of getting stuff done, and our booking agents just keep us going. I can tell you from now until literally Winter Music Conference 2019, our calendar's packed, you know. So that just is a glimpse of, like, what it's like once you're sort of on the circuit.
Isn't that tiring? I mean, like you said, if you're in a band, usually like if you get guitar, you got your drums, you get at least 8 months off, and you kind of, you're always out there. Do you ever get tired?
Certainly, which is a big part of the reason why, you know, right now I'm in D.C. I'm on a bench right now to talk to you, but I was on my way to Gold's Gym. I'll certainly be doing meditation after that. You know, I'm going to play. We neither one of us drink or do drugs on tour. There's just no time for it. Like, I have 10-month-old twin boys and a 2.5-year-old girl and a wife and a full-time nanny. And Dave has a little boy. And we're professionals. Like, we tour professionally. I think we would have burnt out a long time ago if we weren't making choices that promoted wellness and balance and consciousness. But we do make those choices. And that's sort of what allows us to continue to stay inspired and stay healthy and be able to do 120 shows a year. You know, and you still burn. I mean, you still get burnt. And if those times come up, we do enough shows and have enough of a track record that Dave and I could take 2 or 3 months off if we really needed it. You know, we haven't gotten to a place where we've been broken, where we've needed to do that. And a lot of acts do. And I think that they get that way because it's compounded no sleep, late nights, early flights with the fact that they're also drinking and they're getting inebriated on different substances and they're partying late and they're after partying and they're not taking care, you know, their physical, spiritual, metaphysical self. Yeah, we get tired, but, you know, so does everybody else in life. I mean, that's kind of the part of the deal.
So, Chad, tell me, are there any current or upcoming projects that you're working on?
Yeah, we're definitely trying to finish off this next album. It'll be our third album in terms of a full length, which is a big deal. And we were really happy with the way our sophomore album turned out. We put enough space in between our first and second album that we really felt like we knew what we wanted to say and we had our vision. And it's the same with this one. It's really come together. I would say it's 70% there. And so the goal is to get it out at the top of next year. And that's what we're working on, you know, towards that goal now. I think we'll be able to wrap it up end of summer, early fall, and have it slotted for sometime early 2019.
Awesome. Well, Chad, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you and your music?
Yeah, totally. Thanks for having us. I appreciate taking the time as well. It's super easy. At Tritonal is the landing pad for all things Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, etc. And tritonalmusic.com is our website. So again, thank you for having me on. And, you know, I hope any of the listeners can make it out to one of the shows on this tour.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.